My content is free, but my expertise is expensive, and my time is priceless. Now listen here, your content may be free, but again, your expertise is expensive, and your time is the most valuable, most expensive, the most priceless commodity that you possess. Time is the one thing we all share. Time is the one thing we can't get back. No matter how much money we have, no matter how prestigious we are, no matter how much influence we may share, that's the common currency that we have. So act accordingly, live accordingly, work accordingly, and manage accordingly. You know what feels practically impossible? Trying to find a service solution that helps you better connect with customers and keep them happy. It's like trying to remember the name of that one guy you just met at a networking event. Was it Ron? Was it Don? Was it John? Maybe it was Sean? Yeah, I don't know. Just impossible. Well, HubSpot's all-new Service Hub can help in this department. At least in the service solution part, that is. It brings service and success together on one powerful platform for the first time ever. With an AI-powered help desk and an AI chatbot that handles frontline tickets faster. Plus, it comes with a customer success workspace that helps reps anticipate customer needs. And with a full 360 view of every customer, your go-to market team can keep a pulse on accounts before trying to upsell or even cross-sell. Also, you can scale support, drive retention, and maximize revenue. And you know what that means? Better service and happier customers at every stage of their journey. Visit HubSpot.com/service to do more for your customers today. When you are cognizant of these things, when you are aware of these things, and when you act on these things, you will not waste people's time at all when it comes to selling. And you will not lower your value when it comes to price. And you will not get tripped up over when your content doesn't go viral, because you know your content is free. It's to capture a wide net, nurture a specific group, attract a particular type of audience, drive your brand resonance and value and awareness. I can't get mad if something free don't make me money. And even still, I'm not trying to go viral. Virality, as I've talked about in past episodes, doesn't mean anything. If anything, going viral can actually impact who you actually are trying to reach, because you just flood yourself with the influx of people who maybe, ooh, your video is entertaining, but they ain't trying to buy from you. They're not going to watch the next thing of you. That means your algorithm, your views are going to go down. We ain't trying to chase virality. But again, when we're having the right perspectives, it changes things. When you have the right perspective to move and operate sales, networking, pitching, and conversations, it matters. You'll have the right anchoring to instill boundaries and demand respect. And you'll appreciate life enough to know when to say no for the betterment of you versus chasing a fabricated dream to pursue something that someone else created for you. Yeah, we are all in the business of controlling our perspective for optimal growth, acceptance, and attraction. But we also need to live in our own truths to make sure everything aligns. You can have the perspective, it's kind of the gospel song, you can have this old world. Yeah, you can have the perspective of being a renowned thought leader, making 6, 7, 8+ figures. You're internationally recognized and known. And you know what? You can be absolutely miserable. And you probably don't know how much longer you can keep on the facade. So many celebrities, so many top thought leaders and renowned business people of our generation have all the money, all the prestige, and talk about they're missing something, that there's a void. Why? Why can't certain creators maintain the virality, the volume, the vision? Maybe it's their systems and their workflows. Maybe it's the pressure and the demand. Maybe what they're doing externally doesn't match what they really want to do internally, and there's conflict. All I'm saying is that you only have a limited amount of time on this planet. You need to know what your value is and stop putting all of your self-worth in content in exchange for vanity metrics that don't pay the bills, that don't validate or misconstrue your identity. And when you have those perspectives in place, you'll actually find you'll be able to navigate business and your life better.
What's up, digital world? You're listening to the I Digress Audio Experience with Troy Sanders. Social media, marketing, storytelling, business, culture, and more. Coming to you in 3, 2, 1.
I was reflecting back on this podcast being Webby nominated, Webby runner-up 2022. We surpassed our 100 episodes. This can be syndicated. We've had the privilege, because of this podcast, to be asked to be on various stages. I've had the privilege to be on numerous podcasts as a guest. This podcast was converted into a book. And when I started, none of that was possible. None of that seemed possible. And after 13 episodes in, I was like, there's no way. But on episode 29, I partnered up with the HubSpot Podcast Network and we launched that. I had episode 50. Never thought I'd achieve episode 50. That was the same episode season when I realized I was nominated for a Webby nomination for creativity and podcasting in the marketing category. Then episode 100, I reflect back on that. And right before, as a BIPOC entrepreneur, I was a keynote speaker for a MarketTech conference, ironically enough, on the last day of Black History Month. I've been a keynote before, but I've never been a keynote where you're headlining, your face is everywhere, you're not just the speaker, you're the marketable commodity to attract and have other people come to the event. And definitely want to give a shout out to the entire MarketTech conference team, Tanya, Janelle, Eden, Jody, the entire team and staff for Grow Nebraska and the MarketTech conference team. I appreciate your kindness, your support, your elevation, navigating so many things. And until that point, I know people have been waiting for me to talk about that story. And I learned a lot about myself. Having to miss your connecting flight because of a snowstorm gets delayed. I had to make a quick decision. Do I stay in Denver and risk coming in the night before late and think I'll be ready in the morning? Or do I switch a flight and going to, I believe, Lincoln, Nebraska, and then finding a way to drive or get travel from there 2.5 hours to Kearney, Nebraska? And all while doing this, what people didn't know, I had got a really bad like cold and was just lingering. So I had to get I've never tried it before, but I know a lot of people when I MC'd Inbound last year and a few other events, people were getting traveling IV treatments just to kind of boost their immune system before they went to conferences. And so I was like, let me do that. So I did that for the first time and still trying to navigate that. So fast forward, you're ready for your flight. Your flight gets delayed by 4 hours. Then I get to Denver finally. And I've never had this experience. It was like a whole movie situation where the pilot and everyone on the flight were like, we have a passenger who is trying to make his connecting flight. So let's hold everyone back so this person can get off and hopefully get to the next flight. And they did that. It was crazy. It was like a whole movie. I was like, oh my goodness. And so I'm scrambling. And of course, the terminal I have to get to, I'm coming in at terminal A and I have to get to terminal C. And Denver is one of the largest airports in the country, farthest away on the other side at the very end. So I'm scrambling to get there. And you know, and I'm messaging people. I'm on the phone with people. I'm trying to trek. And everyone's kind of like, oh, you're going to make it. There's no way you're going to miss the flight. you know, people don't miss the flight. You're going to make the flight, especially with the story and the narrative and what you're trying to do. It's like I was educating people on the way, like, what are you doing? Oh, I'm a keynote speaker for this event. I'm so excited. And everyone's like, oh my goodness. And I'm running. I get there. And they tell me the plane has already left. There's nothing they could do. And that was the first time in my life of traveling globally, I had missed a flight in that fashion. Everything I did to get there, everything, trying to get better and, you know, still believe in everything. And now you're like, no. And immediately I had to process it after trying to catch my breath and got the notification. And I'm like, what do I do now? And I'm communicating with the Market Tech Conference team, letting them know what's up. Take a deep breath, and I go, and I'm a person, typically, when something happens, I go right into solution mode. I'm very calm. I compress all my emotions, mostly, and try to think, what can I do next? What can I do differently? And so, found the flight that was leaving 2 hours later. I would get to Lincoln, Nebraska, about 1:30 in the morning. That means I'd have to get a hotel, and then figure out a way to get to Kearney, Nebraska. And so we're talking, okay, you know, we can probably rent a car. So I'll do that. So again, and this is all going to make sense in a minute. I go to the gate and ask the people, it's been 2 hours. I just want to confirm that my luggage is going to be on this flight. They literally told me, I kid you not, these are their words. I guarantee you your luggage is on this flight. There's been plenty of time for them to reroute your luggage to this flight. I just confirmed you will be okay. I said, okay. I came back like an hour later just to reconfirm and ask. And they said, yeah. Okay. I was like, all right, cool. So I could get on this flight. It was a very small plane. We get to Lincoln, Nebraska. It was cold, y'all. It was cold. We had to wait for our luggage. I got my carry-on bag. I'm waiting for my other bag to run off the conveyor belt. And it doesn't. So I go and ask the people, did you lose a bag? Did something come in? No, your luggage is still in Denver. And I'm like, oh my goodness. I'm just sitting here like, what am I going to do? Well, the logical thing is just fly it to Kearney, and then I will be able to pick it up, which is much easier. Airport's much closer. I'm already in the same city. No, they're saying it has to travel the same way you went. So we're going to have to fly it to Lincoln tomorrow and then have to have someone drive it to you. The logic doesn't make sense. But that's their justification. Whatever flight path you took, that's the path they're going to take with the luggage. Just seems really redundant to me, but I digress. Yet still, I have to find some place to sleep, book a hotel. We had one Uber driver picking folk up. So the one Uber driver was doing everybody else. So I had to wait 50 minutes to go a 5-minute drive. And it would have been too cold and too tedious of a walk to make that happen with how the landscape was. We get to the hotel. The only room that needs renovation on that side. And the heat was not working, y'all. And I'm still under the weather. It was cold, so the coldness did not help in the recovery aspect of it. And I'm trying to figure out, how do I get to Kearney? Well, the Enterprise and the rental car places do not allow you. You can't do a one-way trip. You'd have to drive it back. So that would be kind of redundant for me. So that was off the table. And so we were trying to run out of options. Time was running out, and I didn't want to be late. I knew it was going to take some time to get reset. And then on top of that, still don't have my luggage. So I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to do all these things. But I knew if I just get to the city, everything else, no matter what, we'll figure it out. I just got to get to the city. Science of Scaling, hosted by Mark Rabesh, is brought to you by the HubSpot Podcast Network, the audio destination for busy professionals. Each week, Mark, founding CRO at HubSpot CRO, senior lecturer at Harvard Business School, and co-founder of Stage 2 Capital, sits down with the most successful sales leaders in tech to learn the secrets, strategies, and tactics to scaling your company's growth. He covers things like how to integrate your first sales hire, how to align your sales and marketing teams, how to add a sales org to your PLG company, how to create customer advocates in your go-to market strategy, and so much more. Listen to The Science of Scaling wherever you get your podcasts. So I found a shuttle bus, the only shuttle bus at the time. It was going to be super early in the morning, and so I did not sleep. We got there, took an Uber, got there around 6 in the morning. Now, I'm sharing this for context, but it's going to all make sense in a little bit. When I got to the bus stop, there's two people there. It's one guy, I kid you not, that shared that he had just got out of prison. Stupid mistake. And he's like, I'll never do it again. He was hoping they was going to drop him off at the bank to get some money and get some food. And they didn't. So he was there even earlier than me in the cold, waiting, no coat, for the bus. This other person was coming to see family. So we got to know each other and talked a little bit. Bus comes, we get on the bus, and we're moving. In the bus ride, I thought I was going to get some sleep, but I didn't. I was just up. I was hoping, sure, this is the perfect time to go to sleep. And everything in my body was like, no, we're processing things. I still had to figure out, I was doing a keynote session and two breakout sessions. I'm a person who likes to create presentations in the moment. Like, I really want to refine it for that event. I don't like to do box cutter to the same thing, the same way, in the same fashion to the same group. So navigating those things, my brain was just wrestling with how we're going to convey these messages and themes. These are all entirely new themes I've never done before. The keynote I've never done before. And we get to Kearney. I have never been so happy to finally get to a city in my life. And everyone's like, well, we'll pick you up and everything. And I looked at the Google Maps. I'm like, oh, I can walk that. Ended up going to the wrong hotel somehow, my fault. And then I go to the right hotel and I had to figure out my reservations. And there was a hiccup with that for a little bit. But thankfully, the MarTech conference team knocked it out the park and everything was resolved and it was cool. Now, let me backtrack this. You know, I'm not saying all public speakers are like this. Most aren't. But even in business, no matter how much you achieve in life, goes back to what I was saying at the beginning of the episode. Your time is priceless and you have to know your value. But that doesn't mean you walk across heavy-chested, egotistic, you deserve this, you deserve that. Because it didn't matter who I was. I missed my flight. Sorry, we're not going to change the rules for you. You got to figure this out like everybody else. Oh, I'm sorry. Your hotel room, he doesn't work. Doesn't matter who you are, how much money you make. It just didn't happen. And I wasn't in a luxury position to try to find another hotel at that point. Oh, sorry. We don't do one-way trips. You got to find another way to get there. Take the shuttle. Oh, who am I riding the shuttle bus with? Like, you think you're so much better than anyone else. But at any given moment, you could be in the same predicament or worse. And even at that, even on your worst moments, there's people who have things harder than you still navigating. The guy who I had mentioned, he was there 2 hours before me. And we stood in the cold for about 45 minutes. So I couldn't imagine, you know, being in there even longer, cold, and you just got out of prison for something petty that you felt like wasn't even cool. And all these things I'm processing, even though it's a bad situation, keep moving forward. Keep moving forward. I kept saying, I can just get to the destination. Now, again, I got to the destination. I still didn't have my luggage. My keynote's tomorrow. So where's my luggage? Oh, it's going to come. Oh, it's going to come. Didn't come. What are we going to do? You got to look presentable some type of way. So I'll never forget one of the board members, appreciate you, Rick, allowed me to get the Target. I got a shirt. And ironically enough, I made a mistake. My wife is an expert packer. And I switched one of the packing cubes to my carry-on. And I had a suit in it. Didn't have a shirt in it, but a suit. And that wasn't the style of what I was going to wear, but it worked out where I was able to get a shirt, have a suit, have a belt, some socks, some other things, toiletries, and then was able to be presentable to do my keynote despite not having my luggage. Now, after I did my keynote, my luggage was sitting right by the hotel desk, which I was able to change to do the breakout sessions that I had as well. Again, all while navigating so much personally, I think around that same amount of time, I had lost a really big client as well, and just things were stacking up. But when I went and did my keynote, when I did my breakout session, I said, I need to give it all I got in this moment. Everything else can wait. Every single person that waited in line to talk to me, I talked with them after my sessions. Anytime someone grabbed me and stopped me and take a video, interview, conversation, I gave them my attention. I gave them my time. Because me personally, when I pay money to go to an event and I'm coming for an experience for speakers, panels, all those things, and I get the opportunity to talk with them, it just feels like when they're talking, it's them talking directly to me and I feel attached and I want to let them know how I feel. And one of the most disheartening things is when you pay all this money, you travel away, you come to talk to this person and then you don't get to talk to them. It's like they don't have time for you. Like they're too good for you. And that might not be the case, but it can come across that way. And I always said, if I can, I will give everything I have in that moment to anyone who needs to talk to me, engage, all those things. And I did that all while probably not feeling the best, all while worrying about a lot of things. And through that, it told me, well, how badly do you want to be a speaker? And I've heard stories from a lot of my speaker colleagues of like, if you ain't had one of them bad ones and you still pulled it through, you don't know how badly you really want to be this. And after it was all over and the positive feedback I got and the reactions and just fulfilling my duty and the weight lifting off after everything I went through, it was reaffirmed. This is what you're supposed to do. If you didn't really want to do it, you would have a million reasons to say, I'm sorry, I can't do it. I'll refund you your money. Or I'm sorry, I can't come. Or I'm not going to spend time with anyone after my session. Or I'm going to cut a session off because I'm not feeling the best. No, you're going to find a way to dig deep. And it's amazing. Humans have a way to dig deep and pull some deeper level of strength when they're under adversity and they're doing it for the help of others, not for themselves, but for the help of others. And I think that's a very strong life lesson to know in business as well. There's going to be so many things that are going to go wrong. It's going to hit the fan and you're still going to have to perform. To people who don't know what's going on with you, but you're still going to have to perform for your now, for your present, and for your future, for your reputation, and for the possibility of what to become of other opportunities that unbeknownst to you. You got to fulfill what you can. I kept saying, if I can just get to the destination, everything's going to work out. I think even right now in business, procure new clients, procure new sponsors, launching another podcast and pushing for sponsors there and trying to navigate new rooms and new opportunities, it can feel overwhelming. It can feel like the whole world is on your shoulders and you're going to break. And in that moment, I invite you to close your eyes, take a deep breath, and ask yourself, what's the destination? If I could just get to that destination, focus the lens on one thing in the midst of a sea of a million things, and then you start tackling things off. Maybe your destination is, if I can just get to the end of the day, if I can just send these 5 emails, these pitch emails, if I can just record this one episode, if I can just get through this one project, send this one invoice, whatever your destination is, like, just chase that and navigate that and hold to that. And then go to the next thing, and then the next thing. And you'll blink, and before you know it, oh my goodness, how did this happen? It's kind of the same thing when you're sick. Can you tell me the exact moment you're no longer sick? No. You just, one day it clicks, like, hey, I'm not blowing my nose anymore. I don't have a cough, or I don't feel congested, or my fever just broke, and I'm feeling better. We don't think about the exact moment it changed until much later in hindsight. Or just either, oh my God, this is the worst thing ever, then like, oh, I'm much better. It's the same thing in business. We're so focused on things and we just keep moving. Then poof, this happened, that happened. And I think that's a lesson for life and a lesson for how we apply what we need to do. After everything was over, the show was over, I'm getting ready to go home. If you check my Instagram, @FindTroy, the video, about 13 seconds, just me getting on a plane, flying out. It was the accumulation of all of that where I was just like flying back and reflecting. But it reaffirmed that you were meant to do this. And that even though you didn't know how it was going to turn out, you did your job by getting to the destination. You did your job by finding solutions to fulfill. Sure, did I feel like I didn't have my best swagger? Did I feel like my best self? Doesn't matter. The perception is because you tried and you delivered on what you did at your best ability. Most times, our 75% is good enough for most people. We are our worst critic. We know things that I didn't get a chance to do this. I forgot about this. I didn't do this. So what? So what? You fulfilled, you did what you needed to do. And I think in many ways, it's not about you being the smartest. It's not about you having the most technology, having the most seed money. It's about you seeing a destination, getting to that destination, and delivering on what you want to deliver, despite the obstacles and challenges. And over time, the benefits of it, the byproduct of it, is more money, is more revenue, is success, is more opportunities, doors you didn't even know were going to be opening, things you didn't know were happening behind the scenes, happening, all because you did what you were supposed to do, and you did it to your best of your abilities, and you didn't quit. I knew within myself, if I'm the keynote, I'm the headliner, I'm doing these things, it is my duty to find and do everything in my power to show up. I don't know if anyone's ever ran an event. You know, you get the money, you get the ticket sales, you procure the talent and the speakers and all those things, entertainment, and you hope everyone do their part to fulfill this event and everyone walks away with happiness, success, gratitude. And it takes a village to do that. And though you may be getting paid, it is still your duty to perform and deliver what you promised per your contract and per what you promoted. We were on two sessions of ABC News in Nebraska, myself and Maria, and I think they did another one with Janelle and Tanya were talking and reflecting on us as well. And we were talking about what we were going to deliver and what we were going to do and how many people have saw those interviews or saw the blog post or me and Tanya did a live on Instagram. All these promotional things, people are getting excited and they're putting their money, like, you know, to choose to go to an event and you're hard-earned cash is a lot. And the expectation, you have to perform. You have to come in clutch. Even still, as much as the Market Tech team, the Grow Nebraska team was doing for me, I still had to find my way. It was my duty. I still had to perform. There's only so much other people, external factors and forces can do for you. There's going to be plenty of moments where you're going to look in the mirror and see you as a collective unit, you, yourself, and I, of one, is going to have to deliver. But if I think back to when I couldn't get a speaking opportunity and just there was no one in attendance and no one was really there, build up your rapport, your tone, your swagger, your delivery, your topics, your themes, your cadence, your presence, and all these things stack up that when you do get the big opportunities, you can navigate. And if I wasn't a keynote speaker beforehand, if I didn't navigate hard times beforehand, well, I would have crushed under the pressure. Not only do you have to get healthier and find your way there, you got to build a deck. I don't want to sound like a rehearsed robotic person. I still want to be relatable and in the moment. Oh, the deck system isn't working anymore for your confidence monitor. Well, I'm going to look occasionally over to the side and still talk. Still going to navigate. I don't need to panic and freak out because I need to read everything verbatim. I'm going to go with the flow. Give the energy, give the vibes, convey, ad lib. Connect personal stories. You don't learn those things until you do those things on the incremental levels and work your way up. It's the same thing in business. As a business leader, as a marketer, as an entrepreneur, as a creator, we don't see the growth because it's so minute, but it stacks up that when the hard times come, you'll pull from a resource and it's almost like muscle memory, but for your mind. It's muscle memory for how you articulate. It's muscle memory for how you navigate business. You've done so many of the reps and other avenues that you're able to deliver on what you need to do. And bringing this to a close, that's what you have to do. And we don't see it that way. I learned people with ADHD, when it comes to time, most people, non-neurodivergent people, see time as horizontal. Okay, I got this thing at this time, this thing is this time, this thing is this time. Whereas people who have ADHD or adjacent as neurodivergent people, many see time as vertical, where they see everything they have to do at this very moment, in this very minute. And that's me. I see everything I need to do. There's no difference in what I need to do next week and in the next hour, because I see it all right now. I may choose to do this one thing in the next hour, but I'm thinking about the things I have to do that are connected or adjacent a week from now, 3 weeks from now. It's all in front of me. Whereas people may see, if you look at a presentation deck, you may see just the title screen and flipping, you see the next slide. Me, no, I have it zoomed all out where I see every page of the deck on one screen. And now I have to pick and choose which ones I'm going to look into. And I said all that to say, the correlation I'm trying to align with is that many times in business, we're thinking about all the things we have to do. We're thinking about all the things we need to do, all our worries, our cash flow, all of it. It's all at one time. And it could be overwhelming. It could be deafening. It could be suffocating. And we have to then take a deep breath and realize, what's the one thing I need to do today? That's going to lead me into the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. I need to pick at this iceberg piece by piece. But know that we may see so much above the surface. What about how much is underneath? And we don't see that a lot in successful businesses. Oh, they just made it. No, they didn't. We don't know the full iceberg. We need to stop comparing our journey to other people. Yeah, that was a hard week. That was a hard month. No one did know the depths of what I had to navigate to do it. And honestly, no one was going to care. They wanted the end result that I was promised I was going to deliver and provide. That's what they were looking for. And then the same thing in business. Sometimes we have to put aside certain things and just focus if I deliver on this and get this done. Then I give myself the permission to pick up everything else back up. Troy, put your emotions to the side for a minute. Get this done. Then you can pick this back up. Because I already did it. It's almost like a bartering chip with myself. We're emotional. We're tired. We're sad. We want to cry. We want to give up. I give you permission to give up after we get this done. And what's crazy, once you get it done and you try to pick that up, you've given yourself time to say, hey, we got this done. We did this. Maybe we can do this too. And the emotions doesn't feel as strong anymore because you got the task done and you navigated a certain way. So just remember that many successful businesses are a byproduct of very hard times. And it's not just the hard times, it's navigating those hard times and not giving up. Because every business that we quote, every thought leader that we admire, that we're inspired by, had a moment or a few, this is the end. This is not going to work. I'm done. We don't see all the failures and attempts that came before it happens. The founder of Canva, over 100 denials for funding before someone decided, and now Canva is a top-notch valued product in business. And you would think, seeing what Canva is now, who would ever not give money for Canva? Same thing with Uber. Same thing with Riverside, which I am recording this episode on. And if you click on my link, you'll get a promotional code to try Riverside for free. That had to be the most smoothest ad placement I've ever done, but I digress. I didn't even think of it. It just came natural. But I said all that to say, we think of all these brands, tools, and technology. How many failures did it take for that to become what it became? And then how long did it take for people to see the value, for it to go up in price, for other people to use it and adopt it? We don't think about that. We just think people just show up and get money, show up and become this thing, become this person who wants this instant gratification, this two-day Amazon Prime experience. That is not real. That's not real business. That doesn't happen. Everything that seemed like it just showed up out of nowhere had months, if not years, if not decades of in the works before people just blew up one day. And here they are. So the next time you want to compare yourself to someone else, consider these things. What are they not saying? What are they sacrificing? How many failed attempts did they do? How many failed projects or businesses or messages did they try? How many cold outreach did they shoot out? How many pitches and investor conversations did they have? How many sales conversations that went awry that didn't work? How many times did they lose this or lose a client or lose that as they pursued this thing? And are they still now navigating certain challenges that we may not even know? It makes things more human and it puts things in perspective. And again, when you control your perspective of how you navigate anything internally, which reflects on how you think and connect externally, you're putting yourself in the better position to be received, to be accepted, to be acknowledged, for people to refer business to you, refer opportunities to you, to support you and help you. So take a deep breath, reset, focus on the destination, and keep striving to get to that next destination and see what happens next.